Hi, I'm Pastor Duell of Heart City Church. This week we come to the second half of James 3, where we'll hear about two life paths, or as James puts it, two kinds of wisdom. The first wisdom comes from above. It is heavenly wisdom come down to earth. The other wisdom comes from earth, and it is unspiritual. In fact, James will go so far as to call it demonic. Take that in. Let that sink in as you listen to our passage. There is a way of living that comes wrapped up like wisdom. It seems to be shrewd, appears to be astute. Folks everywhere are applauding it. Yet it is not what it claims to be, because the devil is the one selling it. There is a wisdom masquerading as the best way to live in God's world, and it's deceiving many people. Wonderfully, my friend, James does not want us to be deceived. So he holds them up together, side by side, so that we'll see there is only one way of wisdom, and we'll know how to avoid the other. I name this devotional A Tale of Two Wisdoms, because there is truly only one wisdom, and it comes from above. And anyone who tries to convince you there is an alternative wisdom is telling you a tall tale. James writes, starting in verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Now last week we learned about how dangerous our tongues are. They're full of poison. They set the world on fire. And James started off that section by warning that not many should seek to be teachers. That's a hazardous occupation to stand in the position of the instructor. I can't help but wonder if that is why James begins this section with this question: who is wise and understanding among you? How many folks do you think are raising their hands saying, "James, look over here, I'm wise, I'm full of understanding"? If anyone does raise their hand as a wise guy, I'm running fast the other way in my search for wisdom. And I suspect you are too. So why is that? Why would we instinctively run from someone who is quick to say, "I'm a wise person"? Actually, James nails it when he speaks of the humility that comes from wisdom. Someone who is wise is not boastful, not quick to say they have understanding. The quick tongue does not show us wisdom at all. That's why James says, "Let him show." That might trigger in our minds James' challenge in chapter 2. "Show me your faith apart from works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." The wise person is not someone who is a tremendous talker, but a diligent doer. A wise person is known by their good life. Joel, what is a good life? What does that look like? Well, the Greek word for good here is kalos, a word that means beautiful. I have a man in our church who does calligraphy. He does this beautiful handwriting. And James is saying this is an attractive life, a life that has placed itself in the hand of Jesus. Our master calligrapher is moving this life around in a way that is stunning, showing forth a beauty that can only come forth from God. He's showing forth the goodness of God. Now we have to realize much of the world may not see such a life as stunning or attractive. People who have never met God do not have eyes for wisdom seen in true goodness, a good life. Think about it. Someone who has only seen a light bulb does not understand the sun. Someone who has never heard thunder will be thrilled by a child's cap gun. We need to be ready when our world is not impressed. On the other hand, how do we respond when someone is impressed by our deeds? James says a wise person's deeds are done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Are we expecting to be praised or noticed for our good life? This is actually an indication we're under the influence of another sort of wisdom. My friend, can you do a good deed and it doesn't bother you if absolutely nobody notices it? Put another way, when is the last time you did something where the only one who would benefit from it would be your God? Have you done something in the last 24 hours simply because you love Jesus and you want Him to be glorified? This, my friend, is a characteristic of the wisdom that comes down from above. The path of wisdom always finds at its end the glorification of God. It's the path Jesus took, the one man who never strayed from the path of wisdom, the man who lived not to glorify himself, but to humbly glorify and honor his Father, John 8:49-50. And he became our hope to walk that same path. We simply need to fix our eyes on Jesus so we can walk in wisdom's way. Remember who you are and who you belong to.